Welcome to the Heather Andrews Show, here to show you how our choices today do affect other people, our kids, our relationships, our careers, and businesses, which cause generational impact. You will hear from guests and experts from around the world. She's here to help you follow through on the it to live a stellar life. And now, here's your host, Heather Andrews.
Welcome to our show, The Heather Andrews Show. I'm so excited to be with you today, and I am your host, Heather Andrews. I help women follow through on the it in your life so that you can achieve the goal in your life that you want and live the life that you love and desire for yourself and your family. Today, we're talking with Megan Fettes about balance, self-care, business, and family. Megan is a yoga instructor and facilitator, as well as life coach. She holds trainings of 200-hour, 300-hour, and 95-hour training sessions. She's a healer, a mother of two young sons, and a wife. Through her journey, she has developed a system that not only empowers women to step into their power through balance and connection to self-care and implement these lasting changes that full-on transform in all areas of life into abundance and joy. She is working on opening a retreat center and healing space to share all of the training that she does with workshops and retreats of her own teachings, with collaborating with other amazing practitioners. Welcome to our show, Megan. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you, Heather. I'm very excited to be here as well.
Perfect. So I wanted just to ask you, what does balance mean for you in today's busy world?
Well, balance for me means being able to take the step back and recognize truly what's serving us and what's not, so that we can fit ourselves into each hat that we wear. I mean, in today's busy world, especially if you're a mother and you run a business or you work even, there's a lot of extra stuff going on. And so balance can sometimes look like delegation, giving tasks to other people to help support you. And it can even look like being willing to let go of things that really aren't serving your highest good.
Perfect. Love it. And it will vary for every family and every person. And I think sometimes in today's world, that's what other people or other moms may not recognize. And they might think that someone else has it all together, but really they don't. So what is your take on that comparison in today's world, and how does that contribute to implementing, like, say, self-care into a busy mom's life?
Well, you're so bang on, Heather. The comparison is probably one of the biggest hindrances in people in truly establishing balance, because my balance is totally different than your balance. And what I'm able to do in a day is totally different than somebody else beside me. And it's recognizing and truly checking in with what we need as a mother, as an individual, every single day in order to maintain that balance. And some days, it's going to be a lot less than other days, depending on our energy, depending on how we're feeling, and just even depending on our own well-being.
Right, for sure. So what are the three keys as a mom and busy business owner that you attribute to keeping a successful business and creating time for yourself? Sort of what are those three keys that you can share with us today?
Absolutely. My first key actually for me is taking time to have to myself and to start my day off that way every single day. So whether that's waking up, I mean, I'm quite lucky. Both my boys sleep in until 9 sometimes. I have no secrets on how that happens, so don't ask me that. I lucked out. But I often wake up at about 5 o'clock in the morning, so I have quite a bit of time to myself. There are days, though, when I'm feeling quite low energy that I might sleep until an hour before they wake up, or even half an hour. But I always make sure that I have the time to start my day by myself so that I can really ground down and do what I need to do to nurture myself. So I find that is one of the number one keys, is creating space in the morning so that you can create that self-care right off the hop.
Right. Yeah. And then what about the busy mom who is up early and has early risers? What would your suggestion be for that?
So I work with a lot of moms who do have those early risers, who sometimes they wake up about 5:30, 6 o'clock, some even earlier, about 5 o'clock. And I still recommend waking up, even if you can, 15 minutes earlier, just to have that space. Because I don't know about you, but I know I used to allow myself to wake up in what I call the chaos, the morning chaos. And oh my gosh, I could never get my head straight. Because when you wake up to kids and it's instantly on, right? There's no time for us to actually ground down and establish a little bit of clarity and self-care. And so even if they're able to wake up 15 minutes prior to their kids waking up and taking even a few deep breaths, checking in and just seeing themselves. So something I always encourage people to do is first thing in the morning, look in the mirror and truly see yourself and tell yourself that you love yourself.
Right.
And it's a really simple, fast practice. So even with those early risers, it's able to be fit into your day.
That's awesome. That is so good. And then what was your journey that sort of led you into this place of doing the yoga teachings and teaching yoga to others and finding this space that you have created and the business that you've grown?
Well, my journey has been, it's been a very interesting one. And it's been one that has kind of pushed me into a lot of growth really fast. So couple turns that I had along my journey. One was that I ended up getting very sick. When I was younger, I went traveling and lived in West Africa for a while. And while I was on my travels, I ended up contracting malaria. And at this time, I wanted to be a neurologist. I was always curious about the brain, loved the medical system, and was convinced I was going to go to med school and become a neurologist. And through my travels, I left Ghana, West Africa, and I had traveled around Europe, came home, and about 5 months later, I got incredibly ill. And it was this weird illness. So every 24 hours, I would get deathly ill, and then the next day, I'd be completely fine. And so for about 3 months there, we were in and out of the doctors. My mom was taking me in. I was only 18 at the time. And it took about 4 months before they diagnosed me with malaria. And at that time was when I decided that I couldn't carry on going the modern medicine route, that I wanted to look into more of the holistic route. And then during that time, while I was so sick, I actually really fell really deep into the depths of addiction. I started using hard drugs and alcohol, probably more so to numb past wounds and past experiences. And so the combination of being very sick and sick with addiction as well, as soon as I got treated with malaria, I was still progressively getting worse. And so I went down south into South Dakota and met with a holistic practitioner down there. And within 3 weeks, he had completely transformed my life. And it was simply movement, change of diet, and Reiki. So while I was down there, I got a message from my first yoga mentor. And she messaged me saying that she was starting a yoga teacher training the next month. And I decided in that moment that I had to follow through with that. And that whole training and really getting into the depths of self-inquiry and recognizing what I was holding on to and how that was affecting my journey changed my life. And so it was in that moment that I decided I couldn't not share it. I had to get out there and I had to change people's lives with these tools. And yeah, so I've been on the journey ever since and gone and gotten loads and loads of training and now travel the world and facilitate yoga teacher trainings.
That's amazing. So good for you. And thank you for bringing that message forth to all of our listeners and to all of the people that you teach. Because I know you just came back from a retreat in our Rocky Mountains, did you not?
Yeah, I just facilitated a called the Joy Retreat in Lake Louise. And so my message right now is really that self-care piece. And really not, because a lot of people think of self-care as having a nice bath or reading a book. When really self-care to me is that connection to ourselves and actually being able to say that we love ourselves and that we are worthy and deserving of what we want in life.
Living the stellar life. This is the Heather Andrews Show.
How do you, when you have someone, a woman who wants to sort of, I call it reclaim the her in her own life. how would you take them on that journey? Could you share some of that with us?
Absolutely. So there's a couple of different ways that I go about it. One of the ways is I bring the awareness into their own selves. Because often when a woman wants to reclaim her power, we've all done it, where we are pointing the finger at somebody else. So we come back into taking a look at, well, what is it that you feel you're missing? And how can you bring that into your life? And what would that look like? So really kind of shifting the paradigm or shifting the perception around who's responsible for creating that shift and recognizing that it is possible. The other thing is being willing to set boundaries.
Right. I love boundaries.
Yeah, right? They're so important. And as women, we naturally want to nurture.
Yeah.
Like that's just our natural selves. I mean, whether we're mothers or not, we want to give and give. And setting boundaries is so important. So checking in around, does this really feed my soul? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, then is it really going to feed theirs?
Right.
So again, shifting that paradigm, because as those natural givers, we have this belief system that no matter what, if we're giving, it's always nurturing somebody else. Mm-hmm. But if it's coming from an obligation vibration, it's actually not effective giving.
Right.
So taking that step back and really looking at that.
Yeah. I love that obligation, that obligation vibration, because I think probably a good percentage of women, moms, operate in that realm most of the days.
Yes.
Yes. So I know you have two very small kids. So how do you impact or bring in boundaries into your world?
So one of the ways is, and I believe it's really important. So the way I look at it is to set boundaries for myself. I'm actually able to teach my kids that it's important to set boundaries for themselves too.
Yeah.
So my boys are really young. My oldest is 3 and my youngest is 1. So my 1-year-old, he's starting to understand some things. However, in his world, it's pretty simple right now.
Yeah.
But it also, because his life in his world is quite simple right now, it also keeps it simple for me. So he has a set schedule in terms of napping and we stick to that. Mm-hmm. Most days, I won't say every day, because there are days where we're out and about and doing other things. But I take that time when he's having his nap to also create the quiet time for my oldest son. And that's just time for him to play quietly in his own room.
Right.
And basically entertain himself so that I can have a little bit more me time.
Okay. And so is that something that's practiced every day in your house as well? Like when your youngest one sleeps, he has his downtime?
Yeah.
Okay. And then how is he, and then when he comes out of his downtime, how is he compared to if he had been full on, flat out, energetic, going while the other one was sleeping?
His behaviors are totally different.
Okay.
So he's my, I always joke, he's my sensitive kid.
Okay.
And he is like my direct reflection of what I, like how I'm feeling.
Right.
But also like he's very, very vocal.
Right.
In a three-year-old way. So when he doesn't take that downtime, when he doesn't have that chance to just be with himself, and most of the time he's playing with his race cars, but if he doesn't have that time, he's a lot more reactive himself.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's going to teach him further on, like to recognize when he needs recharge time, right? We all need recharge time, and sometimes we don't take it. And I noticed that even with my three teenagers now, they'd have their different ways that they take their recharge time, but they've recognized that they all need it. I'm like, you can't be full on, full in 24/7. You have to take a mental health break and go do something either fun, quiet, something you enjoy, because self-care is different for each person, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what would, if a woman came to you and said, how do I implement self-care into my life? How would you direct that for them?
Yeah. So I would, first of all, check in with what their schedule looks like currently. Mm-hmm. And helping them to look at areas that they can create, maybe even subtle changes. I find those subtle changes often create the biggest impact, but also are changes that are lasting.
Yep.
So we'd take a sit down and take a step back and look at the schedule and even implement 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Yeah.
Where they can take that time.
Yeah.
And rest and recharge.
Yeah.
So that would really be the first step. And then the second step would be looking at how they could delegate aspects or tasks that they currently do to create a little bit more space for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then how does one move into a space of full-on self-practice that create those everlasting changes? Because once you sort of implement one change in one place, it has that ripple effect usually of goodness in other areas of your life. So do you have any stories, tips about that for us?
Well, I'll actually share a really quick story about, so I just actually finished facilitating a 200-hour yoga teacher training.
Yep.
And it was quite neat because all the students that I had in that training came in and they were really excited for these grand tools. And my belief system is always to start subtle. That's where the biggest impact's made. And so mm-hmm. I brought forth communication and all of them were like, well, we know how to communicate. We know how to talk. And I said, yes, you know how to talk, but do you know how to communicate? So I got them all to go home and just like really listen, and to listen without opinion, to listen without needing to have a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. And then when they were able to share what they needed to speak very clearly and with confidence. Mm-hmm. And all of them came back the next day and had explained how much their relationships have shifted with their kids, with their spouses. And that built so much excitement that they were now implementing that in every piece that they were doing.
Yeah.
Because it sparked that curiosity of like, okay, even the subtle change greatly impacted this piece of my life. What happens if I do it over here?
Yeah. Well, it impacts career, clients, service. It impacts everything. And I know from a management and coach perspective, it's, we all listen. I think it was Stephen Covey who said, we all listened to reply, not with the intent to understand or listen, right? So if we really understood what the other person was communicating and also how we were communicating and being perceived, it's huge. It's a huge shift with all realms of your life, like you said. So that is amazing. And the other thing with communication too is it's communicating what you need and also being open to receiving what you need.
Yes.
I think we might ask or delegate. And then once we delegate or if someone says, oh, I need help, you're like, what? I can't accept your help. That'll make me look bad. And so I think there's that two-way street of asking, but yet still being open to receiving and knowing that you're deserving of not doing everything for everyone all of the time. It's okay to have someone help you with your, you know, raising your kids, babysitting your kids, cleaning your house, whatever that looks like. I know that's one area where my house cleaner is like my most favorite person because it saved so much battle in my house with between spouse, kids, just doing everything. It was just unreal. And it's just, it relieved a lot of stress because it's not something I can go do stuff on the weekends with my kids. That's fun and not have to worry about it like being 4 hours worth of house cleaning. Best money spent.
Absolutely. It is. And letting go of that need to control, right? Yeah. Like I think there is that idea that in order to be viewed or valued, that we have to be these perfect women or this perfect housewife or whatever, when the reality is that people don't care. Yeah. People want to be able to have that connection with a person that's not overwhelmed or stressed out or constantly thinking about how they're being perceived and being able to drop that control.
Yeah.
Of needing everything to be perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect of everything being perfect. Funny. So as a yoga instructor, if someone was looking to start yoga, who'd never been, what would sort of be that premise of what you would recommend as a starting place for them?
The beauty thing about yoga is there's lots of opportunity to start with every kind of style. Something that I do personally is if somebody's starting out, they've never experienced yoga before, I like to ask them what their body feels like. So if they're feeling quite tense or quite tight within certain areas, specifically shoulders, hips, legs, then I'd always recommend doing something like a restorative or a yin practice.
Okay.
Slower practices. And ones that allow you to actually get into feeling how different things feel within the body. Because really that's my intention of yoga is bringing in that feeling and allowing people to lean into the sensations that they're experiencing within their bodies rather than just moving through things automatically.
Yes. That human doing and human being are two very, very, very different things.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They are. And it's really vital to be able to feel and experience our bodies because that's what is often our biggest messenger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Never known it until about the last year when I started really diving deep within. And it was the external. We always look to external for those changes, but then sometimes changing the external changes the internal, but sometimes changing and rewiring how you think, feel, thought patterns inside can change the outside. So it's definitely an interconnected, both of them are interconnected for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember when I went into the restorative yoga when I was in management and I was wound as tight as they came, just always like zing, zing, zing. And was always going multiple different directions and had my blinders on and was really fast about doing things. And I remember going into the yoga class and the lady goes, okay, so we're going to lay here for 25 minutes and just be still on the mat. I think my stress level went through the roof. But then when I went to the second one, because I'm thinking 25 minutes, are you kidding me? I can't lay here for 25 minutes. It's wasting my time. And then I went the second time knowing how I had just, it just felt so good to relax and just be. And I had never really, I hadn't experienced that for a really long time. And when I went back the second time, it was like, I love this because I came out and my body had rested and I had stretched. I felt longer, thinner, rested, and just more in tuned. And I felt like I'd actually had like a 20-minute nap. And it changed everything for that awareness piece. And I just can't tell you how different it made me feel. And it was like, I need to do this. This is part of my practice. And it is so key to what I do today, just to stay in that grounded space.
It's so important. And I love that you recognize that, that space of creating just that space to be, mm-hmm. and how much that affected all aspects, because it's so true. That's why I love the combination of what I teach and what I do, because they're both, the mind and the body are interrelated for sure. And when we're not aware, when we're not taking that space to just be and perhaps lay on the mat for 25 minutes, our minds are constantly going and constantly chattering. And even though we're unaware of it, it's naturally affecting other aspects of our bodies. Mm-hmm. It's affecting our hormone levels. It's affecting our muscles. It's affecting everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that space is so important.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing too, and this is something that I've just observed, and I was at a conference and the lady's like, you know, whoever takes here a deep breath to help reduce their stress. And most of the people, I put my hand up and there was, I think, two other people that put their hand up and everybody's like, well, I take breaths every time I breathe. And I'm like, and so it was very interesting when she was talking about shallow breathing versus deep breathing and how, and I was just at another, I went to the Tony Robbins conference and there was a gentleman there by the name of Dr. Scott Wilson. And he gave a brilliant talk on stress and how deep breathing can even shift how you digest your food and, you know, from the, you know, the autonomic nervous system. And so sometimes I don't really, we just think that we're in it, we're doing it, we're living our life, we're doing everything that we need to do, completing the things on our list. But once again, and that's probably why our cortisol goes up and there's just all of those effects. And by just creating that environment of restorative yoga and being still and having those tools, it's so huge and it doesn't have to take a lot of time. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned is that it can even be like 2 minutes and it just shifts everything.
Yes. Breathing is so important. Like, it's so funny because yeah, we breathe all the time automatically, but how we breathe.
Yes.
That's the key. And it, like you say, 2 minutes of just settling into the conscious breath and allowing your full breath to come into the depths of your belly. And even if you can, unwinding the muscles in your core. So allowing your muscles to relax, which is often something we don't easily do, mm-hmm. especially around our core. We like to engage and draw in all the time.
Yeah.
But even if you can like take a 2-minute practice to unwind that space around your core and really take those deep breaths in, mm-hmm. it automatically shifts so much.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So for the people that don't necessarily understand or would like more clarity on, we often hear yoga, people who attend yoga classes and who are conscious and always go to yoga, who, what does it mean by practice? Like, is it just, if you can just enlighten us a little bit on that and educate us on that, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the whole idea of practice is the fact that every day is going to be totally different.
Okay.
Like I mentioned, our bodies and our minds are so interconnected. So depending on your stress levels or depending on what you've experienced each day, mm-hmm. your body is going to feel totally different.
Yeah.
And so the intention behind the yoga practice is allowing yourself to come into the space of curiosity. Mm-hmm. So it's not a serious practice, but one that you can step into as a place of an observance, in the place of curiosity, and just be curious around what is going on. What are you feeling within your body each day, and practicing that presence.
Perfect.
Of your mind with your breath and the movement of your body to become aware of what's going on internally.
Mm-hmm. And I think once you actually realize and you spend time internally, it's amazing how your it's really, it's a challenge it actually takes practice to shut your mind off. It really is. I remember thinking about, like, I was laying there and I was thinking about my to-do list. Laying on the back. When I get out of here today, I have to go get my mail. I have to pick up my child. I have this, this, and this to do. Oh, darn, where's my phone? I got to add that to my notes.
I can so relate to you. That's exactly how I started off with yoga too. I remember doing the Shavasana, and I mean, it wasn't 25 minutes. The first time I did Shavasana, I think it was like 5.
Yeah.
And those stress levels of mine went way through the roof. And I was like, what? Like, I've got things to do. I've got places to be. What do you mean you want me to be still for 5 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. Know that feeling so well.
And so it was. It was like learning how to settle into that and give myself permission, right? Yeah. And that's the biggest thing, is give yourself permission to just be. And know that the more you allow that space to just be, the doing is going to happen a lot more efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah. And also too, like, I was talking to a girl just on a different podcast, and we were talking about comfort zone. And that's where, if you've never been to a yoga class, it might be super uncomfortable to go into one. And so that's why I was asking about how would they start, because it really is just about, you know, taking one step into a class to try. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And that's where I challenge, and I just encourage our listeners and ones who are catching the replay, that take one step into a yoga class, because it is truly the most amazing thing that you could ever experience. And it will take you more than one to really turn off the chatter but be open to it, because the resolve and the resolution and the effect that you get is really almost like euphoric. It really is.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing I would always recommend to anybody that's new to yoga is don't go in with the idea or the perception that you need to do the poses perfectly. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's about. It's about feeling what you're experiencing in each moment. Mm-hmm. Because even as a very practiced yoga practitioner and teacher, there's days where my poses aren't yoga journal perfect. And because that's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about really landing where you are and experiencing that.
Yeah. And I think when you mentioned about checking in each morning, and I think checking in, it's just kind of, it's a term that we hear a lot of, but what does that really mean for the person that may not full on understand what that means?
Yeah, it's checking in is really just taking that moment of stillness. So taking, say, your Shavasana, that laying time on your mat, and bringing it into like your active life, mm-hmm. taking a moment of stillness, even a couple of deep breaths, and bringing your awareness into how you're feeling.
Right.
And that's what I call checking in. So checking in, bringing the awareness within so that you can navigate the external.
Right. Yeah. And it's amazing when you actually start to just stop, when you stop the doing and you are just sitting there going, and you can turn off the checklist, it really does create that how I'm showing up in my life, how I'm showing up in my world. And I know that's also a term that we hear so much of today. And I just remember, for me personally, when my husband was in Afghanistan, I'm a very outgoing up person. And when my husband was in Afghanistan, it really hit me in a very hard place. And I didn't realize how negative I was showing up and the impact it was having on my kids, my husband, who was like across the world, and my coworkers, how I was showing up. So that's the other thing, is when you do the check in, you get to know also that increased awareness on how you're affecting others when you're showing up in a place of absolute stress, absolute negativity, and how your energy affects other people, because it does. It really does. And we're more aware of it now than I think we've ever been before.
Yes. it's amazing. I mean, we're all energy beings, right? I mean, we're starting to recognize that even more so through science and research. And
yeah,
I mean, it's one of those things when we try and pretend like we have it all together, even though internally we're like screaming.
Yeah.
People can still feel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, and often the check-in is just allowing like the space to even feel those emotions that we often try to avoid so that they don't keep coming up to the surface. Cause often that's all it is. They just want to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
Those emotions just need to be acknowledged. Maybe a few tears shed or whatever it might be so that you can move forward into that space of a more positive light energy.
Yeah. And there's also more guidance out there than there's ever been before as well. And I think once you recognize it, it's like, I kind of hit my wall. I don't want to be in this space of negativity or stress anymore. And I want to look after myself, but I don't know how to do it. You know, there's more help out or more mentorship and guidance and support out there than there's ever been. And a lot of the like yoga has been around for thousands of years. So it's a great place to start.
It really is. And the combination of like the movement is so great because we're interconnected. So it's taking care of both in one shot and it's allowing a little bit of a different practice. So especially if somebody's not quite used to just sitting in stillness and checking in, utilizing that movement to get started.
Yeah.
And then naturally that awareness begins to cultivate just naturally and authentically.
Yeah. And there's checking in front of Netflix and then there's really truly checking in.
Yes. Big difference. I've had a few people say that. Well, my self-care is to sit down and watch a movie. I said, so are you checking in or are you checking out?
Yeah. Great. So Megan, I so appreciate you coming on and really sharing us today with really, really new insights, with our listeners and the ones catching the replay, but also to where can people find you on social media?
I have a Facebook business page. Mm-hmm. My Facebook business page is Megan Fettis, the Joy Coach. As well as I have a website, it's www.megan-fettis.com. Right. And on there lists retreats, trainings, one-on-ones that I do, and different publications of things that I've written or different telesummits that I'm speaking on.
Perfect. Love it. So once again, I thank you for coming on our show and sharing all of your knowledge and really that how to balance that self-care, business, and family, because it's so essential in today's world. And the more that people hear about it, the more that that message just keeps spreading and spreading. So I thank you for that.
Well, and thank you for having me on the show, Heather. This has been great.
Yeah. So once again, everyone, thank you for joining us today. I'm Heather Andrews, and we're helping you reach your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, full of activity, and the resiliency for better relationships. We will see you next time. And till then, go out and live your stellar life and work on you.
Thanks for listening to The Heather Andrews Show. For more exclusive content, visit heatherandrews.press. Until next time, stay focused and live the stellar life you are meant to live by following it through.